I start feeling... She thinks she's so good at it.
I'm so good at it.
She loves to do it. Horse? Literally, like, where...
That's a good horse.
We were somewhere with...
Good horse.
We were somewhere with, like, a bunch of people who were talking about a dog, and my wife is over here, and all of a sudden, Raven goes... And everyone who is listening to the story goes, they're like, where's the dog? Literally. Like many of you, we were obsessed with presumed innocence.
Obsessed!
We were trying to figure out the...
Who did what in what closet?
We were trying to figure out who...
Who done it?
The entire time. We wanted to make a video to lock in our predictions, to let you guys know where we were at, give you our brain process in solving this murder.
So let's check out what we thought was going to happen before the finale.
Presumed Innocence is a show on Apple TV that we've become obsessed with, and we have to tell. Today is the day of the finale. We have yet to see how it ends, but by the time you're watching this, we've seen the finale.
Yes.
Some spoiler alerts if you haven't seen the season or the series yet. It's 8 episodes. It's 8 episodes and 8 episodes coming up now. Oh, I sound like, what's his face from?
Issues.
Okay. If you've seen it, you get it.
Everybody, Apple TV has a new show called Presumed Innocence starring Jake Gyllenhaal and a cast of characters that I must say, fantastic casting.
So good.
Fantastic. His brother-in-law is in it. The guy from...
Oh, yeah. Peter Skarsgård.
Peter Skarsgård is in it.
Luke from Handmaid's Tale
is in it. There's so many actors
good
in this
actors
that
we
you
can't
know,
name.
That you can't name. That you know will bring a caliber of expertise to this story. And we are addicted. My wife started watching it while I was working, and she stopped 8 minutes into it and said, babes, I have to shut the show off. I have to watch it with you.
I love Jake Gyllenhaal, so when I knew he was in it, I was like, okay, yes.
I love Jake Gyllenhaal too.
I sat down, I turned it on, I watched the first 8 minutes, and I was like, I have to turn this off because I had to wait for you because I knew it was going to become our show. So for those of you who don't know, Presumed Innocent is about Rusty, who is played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who is a prosecutor. I think it's in San Francisco.
No, it's in Chicago.
Correct. It is in Chicago. Shame on me. I should have known that.
His partner gets murdered, and it gets murdered in a way that is very reminiscent of an old case that they fought together.
So the DA decides that he wants Rusty to take lead in this case and be the head prosecutor on it. And push comes to shove, and we find out that Rusty was actually having an affair with the woman who was murdered.
When they figure that out, the DAs switch because there's an election. Yeah. So now there's a new DA, and the DA's minion, played by Skarsgård, his name Malto, is now in charge of the case and finds out that Rusty has been in a relationship with this woman and makes Rusty the main
suspect. Rusty's DNA is the only one found at the scene. He is arrested. And Rusty, of course, knows all of this is going to happen because this is what he has done. Meanwhile, his wife has known about this affair because it happened, or it started like a year and a half ago. But the wife thought it was over. Push comes to shove again. We find out
the woman is pregnant with his baby.
Carolyn.
Honey, this is a Maury story.
The affair started again. And then they discover in the autopsy that Carolyn is pregnant. Rusty is the father. They do a DNA test. And then, of course, so Rusty's life has completely fallen apart at work. It is completely falling apart at home. And now he is on trial for murder for the woman that he loved and impregnated. And it's brutal.
It's brutal. And he has enlisted his old partner, which was the old DA, to represent him, while he himself, one of the best lawyers in his state, is also helping. And we're going to stop there because...
You want to watch it now.
You
want to
watch
it.
There's so many little pieces. And why is it good? And wait, before she answers that question, my wife is very particular about people giving their opinion about why things are good and not having the checklist of what actually makes something good or not. So the criteria of something being good is...
Right. So there's a difference between your opinion of, oh, I like this, and this is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I like it, or this is actually good. You don't like it because it's good. Well, you can, but it's not good because you like it.
Correct.
Okay.
So there's a certain checklist.
Right.
Actor, writing, the look, the directing,
the storytelling, yes.
The style, like all of those. Okay. So let's go.
So this show
is good.
Is really good. And it's not good because we like it. It's good because it's genuinely a
good
piece of art. It's based off of a book. Let's start there. David E. Kelley and his team of writers adapted it. Brilliant. The acting is out of this world.
Everyone is on their toes. You can see everybody rehearsed. Every single character has their backstory and has a story to tell. However, each one doesn't overtake the next. They don't talk down to the audience. Every character is well developed, the story is well developed, and everything is intertwined in a way to where you don't know what's coming next.
And I love this show's attention to detail.
Ugh.
The show is a very dark show in light, in tone, in register,
and talking.
And then
dialogue.
Every time you have the opening sequence and then it goes to the credit, the title credit of Presumed Innocence, it's bright white. It hits you. It's such a good show. But here's the thing. This is a whodunit. It's a thriller. Yeah. It's a mystery. It's a murder mystery. The thing that I love about it is I cannot predict it. I'm very, very good at calling things out. I did in the beginning of this show go, I see this and I see that.
Yeah.
Right away. But I cannot for the life of me figure out who actually is responsible for this murder. And I love that. And I love how they have set us up as an audience. As you're watching this, they make you question everyone.
Everyone.
And they set it up so beautifully and so simplistically. So here, spoiler alert. At the end of the seventh episode, you go into Malto's house, who's played by Peter Skarsgård. Is it Skarsgård? He's not a Scar. He's not Peter.
Jake Gyllenhaal's sister's husband.
Yeah, you know, he's not part of the Skarsgård family like Stellan and Alex and
this whatever. Matters.
It doesn't. But I just want to say his name, right? But anyhow, so you end up in his house. It's the last scene of the show. It's the last scene of the episode. Mm-hmm. You end up in his house and the murder weapon is on his counter with a post-it on it that says something like, fuck you. His window is open. He clearly was...
Pages everywhere. Yeah, someone shuffled the house.
He comes in. He's clearly taken aback, like, who's been in my house? But it leaves you on this cliffhanger going, did he murder her? Was the murder weapon placed in his house by someone else who is the murderer? What happened? Like, are someone framing him? And it's just done so perfectly.
But here's the deal. I've watched a lot of whodunits, and I've seen that little nudge of information happen in other shows. But the difference with this show is the fact that, like you said, every single character has been shown in a light of they could have done it or not.
Totally.
Every single character. It literally does not let you break or rest. If you miss a scene, you're missing a piece of the document. I mean, you're missing a piece of the story. You know what else is amazing about this show? And you brought it up. The fact that Jake Gyllenhaal puts his glasses inside of his shirt by his belly button, fourth button instead of up here. It's the fact that the bicycle is being washed by the mother. Like, that conversation, I don't know if you guys are as dark as me, but like, you know, sometimes when you're in family conversations, you're like, hey, would you cover up a murder for me? You know what I mean? Like, those kind of conversations come up. Not that we would do it. But the mama will always take care of you. And that mom was scrubbing that bike like no one's business. But then at the same time, she's off doing her own little hoeing.
Yeah, she's having a little affair. A little affair. Her husband's been having an affair. And this is the thing, too. Oh, it's like,
and you're like, does the man that she's having an affair with, I didn't pose this question. Is he a reporter? Is he a plant for her? Because every single time he's like, I bet he's so on the line.
They and he's so smooth. So well. They leave you where if it was the guy that she's having an affair with, his name is Clifton. If it was Clifton who was responsible, in some way you'd be like, oh,
I knew it. I saw that.
That's crazy, but I saw that. And it's just every character is...
It's not too long.
Unique and beautiful and thoughtful and well done. Mm-hmm. And that takes some kind of genius. Like, what happens is you become fully immersed in the world. Like, I'm retaining everyone's name.
Yeah, I can't, but I'm almost there.
No, I'm literally like Randy and Lorraine. They're a married couple. They just want to like go to Italy on the honeymoon Randy. They never had. Like, you know, he had a heart attack instead. Like, oh my God. Oh,
the dream sequences, you guys. The fact that, you know, sometimes you can go into movies or television shows and the dream sequences are like laced with mushrooms, obviously. Mm. But these, at some point, we're like, is this real? This is a dream.
Who do you actually think did it?
I think it's between Jake, Malto, and the two sons. I think the sons got together and did something.
I am having a really hard time picking anyone because the way that this murder was done, right? So this prosecutor is murdered. She is hit in the head, so she dies of blunt force trauma, with a poker, but then she's hogtied.
Like a past victim.
And she's hogtied in such a way that I'm like, two boys, two young 15-year-olds, like, I don't see that. I don't see Barbara, the housewife, being able to tie a body up like that. Barbara's I don't not doing see that. Rusty, Jake Gyllenhaal's character, I don't see Rusty having snapped and then snapped long enough to then, like, find rope and tie a person. So I do. That is really, I know you do, but it's really catching me. And I just don't know.
Then who do you think did it?
Issues. I think it's issues. Issues. That actor, the man who plays Luke in Handmaids, he gave himself a voice.
That
in
is this. So good.
It's very interesting. And when I was watching the first, I was like, what is he doing? But then as you continue watching the show.
Hoity toity African-American male in position.
And he talks kind of like this.
A very locked jaw. And here we are. And then he says, there's a lot of issues.
He's like, do you take issue with that?
That's my fit. It's like literally we're gonna, that's a part of our lexicon. Yeah. Kind of like, yes, chef. We're just gonna be like, hey, do you have any issues? Like, that's
just seriously. What's gonna be. And just in this way too, and do you take issue with that Malto? So and it's his job. But I think it could be him because he's too fucking weird.
He's very weird. I just want to kind of, it's a tangent, but I just want to bring this out here. Jake, thank you. Because you were really scaring us for a minute. You started with that COVID movie. Then you went into the remake of the 80s film where your body was sick.
Yeah, you looked good,
Jake. You looked good, Jake. You
looked real good.
But you scared us with your choices. I'm glad you're back on track, Donnie Darko. I'm glad you're back on track, Brokeback Mountain. That's what you do. And enjoy yourself with all your choices. You know, enjoy yourself with your movies. But this is correct. And as your agent, manager, and lawyer, yes.
And as your girlfriend, I really feel good about it. He is so fun.
He's so sexy.
He is.
Listen,
so
we gotta share, babe. Sexy.
You want to share him?
Yeah, as lesbians, we can have a daddy over here. You know what I mean?
Okay, fine.
Yeah, but don't touch me. But like everything else, you can just stand there.
You can touch me, Jake. It's fine. Anyhow, back to the show. It's freaking brilliant. It's
fantastic. But you know what? Kudos to Apple TV because Apple TV has really been giving us some really good content.
Severance.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Severance. This show.
That fighter show you and my mom and dad watched.
Oh my God. So good. The air fighters.
Yeah. Austin Butler.
Austin Butler. Elvis. So good. Uh-huh. Severance is coming back too. When Severance comes back, be ready. I got to do a couple of episodes with that. That is my shit.
Anyway, we're just so excited for tonight. Yes. It's going to be fantastic. What you want to eat, babes?
I need to figure it out. She did make me some amazing cottage. The way I said
what you want to eat, babes is weird. We're so excited. We're not speaking correctly.
She made me some amazing cottage cheese
cookies
that I'll probably enjoy, and you'll have your ice cream, and then we'll have like a good night.
So here's the deal. We didn't predict correctly.
And we did not predict correctly.
But who in the world did? No one.
I would have never thought that the daughter would come from behind the door.
Spoiler alert.
And say, Dad, it was me.
Jaden. Going through the list, as some of you saw back then before we had seen the moment that led us to here, I was saying to myself, it could be this person. It could be that person. But no one is tying up a body like that unless they're a grown man
that.
Or whatever.
And you did predict that Rusty. You predicted that Rusty was tying up the body. And you were correct. I love the fact that Rusty knew that a family member did it the whole entire time.
That last moment where he goes to his wife and he was like, and she is like, it was not me. And then you find out that it's Jaden. And then you see the horror in his wife.
Oh my goodness.
So and good. Then you said, this was the best thing. You look at me and you go, this really is a family show. And I was like, what? She goes, this is a family show. She's like, I would know. I'm in family TV. This is a family show. Because when you think about how hard he went to bat for his wife the whole time, he's thinking.
He's knowing that since he is innocent, but he's also guilty because he's an accessory to murder, he knew how to play that. And now looking back, none of his quote unquote uncalculated moves were uncalculated. He did everything to the T. And then the fact that that daughter, and that's another thing, they taught their children very well. The daughter knew to bring that thing forward. She knew when it was going to happen. You could tell by the conversations that the family had had before this whole fiasco went down and how much the kids understood prosecution and cases and things of that nature. And I think they did a really good job at not shining a light on her. Very minimal.
They had that little seed planted when she came to her dad and she was like, do you know anything about disassociation? Yeah. And it made it sound more like the mom. She was, no, it made it sound more like she was a kid who was just taking interest in her psych class and then like kind of, you know, placing that on her dad where she could see that this could be aligning with what had happened to him. But I think that they did really point fingers at almost everyone else in the show except Jaden. But they did do a great job, I think, in showing the connectivity of the family, like what you were speaking to. The kids knew what was going on. They sat there in the trial. They understood their father had been having an affair. They were seeing their mother struggling. They were also expressing their own anger and upset. I think it was just, again, a testament to how well written the show was. How well acted it was. It was really great. And I just loved the twisty turns that happened throughout it. But I think that looking back and now understanding that Rusty from the beginning knew that someone else had killed her, he tied her up, but he thought that he was doing that to protect his wife the whole time. And then the whole time that he was doing that, he didn't confront his wife until the very end. Like, that was, I mean, that is what we should start normalizing in marriages. You know what I mean?
Hiding murders?
No, like, people are like, oh, he peeled my orange, he loves me. No, bitch. You know he loves you when he ties up the body and then doesn't say shit until he's found innocent and then confronts you. Let's normalize that kind of love. Let's not
trend that.
That kind of romance.
How about we not trend that? But I will say what we can trend. Really fast? What I will say we can trend, though, is Rusty knowing something about his wife and not confronting her about it until it's finished and presenting it to her calmly after the win.
Was it calm?
It was very calm. It was very calm. She was hysterical.
It was calm and scary. They wanted us to think like, he's about to kill her.
Yeah, it was calm and scary. But what I loved about that is, listen, we don't have to talk about everything, but I cleaned it up and I'm not going to make you feel guilty about it. I just cleaned it up. It's fine. I love you. Don't do that shit again.
He also was kind of making her feel guilty because he said, the thing that was so crazy to me was that how the day after you were so calm and you acted like nothing had happened. And she was like, oh, no, it wasn't me, Rusty. And then it was Jaden.
Oh, it was just so good.
Season 2 is coming out.
Hey, if you want to see more reviews of other shows, let us know. We'll watch and I'll talk about them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We love watching TV, so give us an excuse, you guys. Come on. Today, we are toasting to the Musée de Fromage.
Oh, the Museum of Cheese.
Yes, it just opened in Paris.
Oh.
And is good to be a good time.
She's been waiting all day to say that.
It's opened in Paris, and it's celebrating the 5,000-year tradition of cheese making as a, what are you called when you go to a museum? A visitor? As a visitor of the museum.
Spectator.
As a spectator, you can taste cheeses. You can meet cheese makers. You can learn about the tradition of French cheese making.
I was going to ask, is it just French cheeses?
They have some Italian
influence
in there as well, which I appreciate because Parmigiano, Reggiano,
Mozzarella,
necessary. You know, when you have brie and whatever.
There's a lot of French cheeses out there.
Yeah, fromage. Can you name a French cheese?
No, but brie. I know that there are
brie
and camembert.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, that's open and I think it'll be fun to go.
I would definitely love to go to the cheese museum. There are interesting cheeses out there, you know, blue vein to brie to Parmigiano Reggiano, but also the one that has maggots in it. I wonder if they're going to showcase those.
You know, is that a French cheese?
I think it is a French cheese. I think it's a specialty French cheese that is not welcome in any other country but Paris. And
has maggots living in it?
Yeah.
What?
That's a part of the...
And you eat the maggot?
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to sell wine at this place or crackers. What do you like with your cheese?
100%. I love a sweet with my cheese. I want like a baked brie. I would go wine over cracker, though, if I had to.
I would
anything.
Go wine over cracker, too. I would go like pasta over cracker.
Yeah, I would go full carb. When I went to Paris, I had so much brie, butter, and baguette.
Yummy.
The 3 Bs, and I came home with a lot of more LBs. It was ridiculous.
It was delicious.
It was amazing.
Well, we should go to France, and we should go to that museum. Le Musée de Fromage. That would be fantastic and up my alley beyond.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.